As you know, for the past 2 weeks, beginning with the first Sunday of August, I've been preaching the sermons on the theme of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because the Church has August dedicated to devotion, increasing in devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And as I mentioned on the first Sunday, when Our Lady of Fatima said that God wishes to establish devotion to His Mother's Immaculate Heart among men, then we start to see an importance behind us. So this is God's will, God's intention for us, to show this devotion toward Mary, so that more and more we can imitate the virtues of Mary and receive the blessings and favor of her Son. Last week I spoke about the power of this particular devotion, particularly what Our Lady again had said at Fatima. She said that those who would be dedicated to her Immaculate Heart would follow the virtues and imitate the virtues that she has, that great graces would come upon them and they would be strengthened and even saved through calumnious times and calamitous times, I guess. And I guess both calumnious and calamitous times that they would come through, because she would intercede for them in a great way. Again, it's because I'm positive, convinced, that this is an important devotion that God has given to us in our time because of a specific need for it that Catholics have for it in this time, because our times are so strangely and so strongly evil that we need greater strength to be able to combat it. She warned that if people did not practice, did not amend their ways, did not follow her Son, then wars, terrible trials would come upon people in the earth, all because of their failure of serving God and of imitating the virtues of her Immaculate Heart as they should. But then she gave the promise, despite all these things, no matter all these things that are going through, in the end, she says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. God has given such power, such strength through her Immaculate Heart that in the end, as dark as the days might be, she will triumph. And I told you last week about this priest that I know from Chicago. He seeks praying Immaculate Heart of Mary triumph soon. And that becomes our prayer too. We know she will triumph. God has given her that power. But please, triumph soon. What I want to do today is add to that understanding, underscore it, I guess, is the term I could probably use, the understanding of the power of this devotion to our Blessed Mother under this title of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and why it is so important for us in this time to be devoted to her under this title if we wish to have our souls protected because the days are evil. What I want to do is refer to a message. Actually, it's a message was given over a period of three visits that Mary gave to a young girl, I think she was about 15 years old, from Marienfried, Germany, in 1946. This is about 30 years after Fatima, but it continues the message of Fatima, and it's right at the threshold before the problems of Vatican II come up. Remember the first Sunday, I was trying to walk you through step by step by step to see how God established his devotion up to this time to show our times were going to be particularly trialsome, particularly evil. And he is going to strengthen us by a special devotion to his Mother's Immaculate Heart. It's obvious when you put in that historical perspective. But when you see that that desire of God, that important message to us, doesn't end at Fatima, but also at Marienfried in 1946, where she appears and takes that message and adds to it to really get our attention, kind of like hit us on the head here and say, pay attention here. This devotion is so strong because this is what's coming if you are not careful. The first thing people say when they think of Marienfried, they'll just say, I never heard of it. And that's what majority of Catholics will say. It's a localized devotion, perhaps, in Germany. It's approved by the Church. It was written about, but it just didn't seem to get throughout the world until this whole crisis came up, and then it just kind of fizzled away. Be that as it may, the message, the words of this message, are very important. And I think you'll see that as I start to go through this summary of it. There are many things that Mary said, many important points. If I tried to spend the time of this sermon reading everything from that vision, it would take too long, and I think you would miss them, and maybe some people would get bored. So what I've done is I've taken all the words of that message and put a little pamphlet. The pamphlet's in the back of the church. So you can take and reflect upon the words of Mary. Again, it's an approved apparition. It's approved by the church. I'm not going to bring you anything from the pulpit that is not. But it just did not make a worldwide point of veneration before the crisis came at Vatican II. I'm just going to mention to you some of the things that are found in this message, again, that help to underscore this idea of devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart is not only important, I'm going to say it's essential if we wish to persevere in this time. Among other things, she says that we must have an unreserved confidence in her Immaculate Heart. Notice that word, unreserved. Confidence in her. There is no reserve, no bounds. It's the type of confidence that a child shows to its good mother. The child knows the mother is going to gain anything for it that is needed. And so in my prayers and my confidence and of her protection, it knows no bounds. No matter how evil, no matter suffering I may go through, I know my mother is there to constantly protect me. One of the problems that many of us have today is that when we pray, we don't pray with confidence. The usual way most people pray today is, God, if you're listening, are you awake today? You know, if you are, I'm saying some things here. And if you're not too busy, you know, if you're not too busy, can you help me with this right here? This is really an important thing. And oh, Mary, if you want to, could you help me too? And oh, St. Anthony, you know, I've lost something here. But if you're too busy, then don't worry about it. Some people think that God is up there purposely not only to test us, but to give us great trials and tribulations. To sit back and think, okay, Susie's praying to me today. She prayed yesterday. I'll let her go. I'll speak. I'll listen to her tomorrow. That's what people think about God when they pray. And don't say you don't. Don't say you don't have that confidence when you pray. How many people here have that unreserved confidence? Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be given. But yet, when you come up to that idea, whatever, does he really mean that? He's God. He wouldn't lie. When Mary tells us we need to have unreserved confidence in her Immaculate Heart, if we don't have that, we're not going to gain the strength we need. As we're going to see, we're going to be deceived. If we don't have that unreserved confidence in her Immaculate Heart, we're going to be deceived. Because she tells us, this is what we must do. We must substitute the virtues of her Immaculate Heart, her purity, her love for God, her spirit of prayer, her humility. Those virtues have got to be the virtues that come out of my heart. She says, you must substitute my Immaculate Heart for your sinful heart. And she repeats it several times in the message, so we get it. Substituted. Quit our selfishness, our prideful action, our constant giving in to impurity, and so many other intentions that come or temptations that come along that we so quickly yield to. We've got to clean up our hearts here. Make them more pleasing to God by imitating her heart. And this is what she says. This is why it's so important. She says, the devil has power over people who do not trust in my heart. The devil has power over people who do not trust in my heart. If you don't have that unreserved confidence in Mary, if you occasionally throw up a prayer and hopefully it sticks, if you say the rosary distractedly, there's no unreserved confidence in her heart. And she's warning. The devil has power over people who act that way. On the contrary, she says, wherever people substitute my Immaculate Heart for their sinful hearts, the devil has no power. And they will not be deceived. That's a key point. She concludes it by saying, but even though the devil has no power over you, even though he tempts and tempts greatly, he can't force you to sin. And the power of her Immaculate Heart can keep you in stronger. Even the most vile of temptations come up. You will not yield. Because that's the unreserved confidence I have in her Immaculate Heart. But she says, but he still will persecute my children. They will be despised. but the devil can do no harm to them. In fact, one other place she says in here, this is like a great how to do for you. Go ahead, be my child, have unreserved confidence. Then she says, crosses weightier than the seas are going to come upon my children. Oh, great. Fantastic. Crosses, trials, heavy crosses and trials are going to come our way in these times because we are devoted to Mary and have unreserved confidence in her Immaculate Heart. Does that mean I should just run away from that devotion? Run away from it and say, oh, I'm not going to be a child of Mary. Oh, no, I'm not going to have that unreserved confidence. That way no crosses will come upon you. Well, if you think that, you're deceived by there. Running away from crosses has never solved anything. If you run away from the graces that helps you to carry them, well, you know, you'll never be able to carry them well. You'll trudge underneath them and groan and complain all the time. What she is saying here, that those who have unreserved confidence in her Immaculate Heart, who are her true children, she will send heavy crosses upon them. The devil will tempt them greatly, but they will not yield. They will stand firm. Kind of like Job in the Old Testament, who was the brag of God. They will stand firm. And they will win graces for themselves. They will become great saints as a result of that. And the graces they can also win for other people that are so necessary in this world. God has so few people who love Him entirely, love Him from His heart. And the path of God is to send to those who love Him crosses and trials. So don't run away from them. Do not run away from them. Our Lady is telling us here, reminding us of this fact. This is what is going to take place in this time. Be prepared for it, but have unreserved confidence in my Immaculate Heart. As if having strength in the time of crosses were not enough to have this unreserved confidence in her Immaculate Heart. That other thing that she mentions two or three times in this message about being deceived is important too. Unless you replace your sinful heart with my pure and immaculate heart, she says, you will be deceived. Deceived. Deception. What could she be meaning? Well, we're living in that time of deception today. We're living in a time after Vatican II that so many Catholics, hundreds, thousands, millions, hundreds of millions of Catholics today, throughout the entire world, believe that they are practicing the Catholic faith, and they are not. They've been deceived by the modernists. And the modernists are so clever in doing all these particular things that they can have them sounding like Catholic devotions and all these things, and yet preaching a different faith. Everyone here knows, I mean, you know that's really one of the reasons why we're here, to understand that point. But it's so many others who are out there who have been deceived. Because they haven't prayed to Mary? I don't know. I'm just saying the strength of deception, the deception against our faith is so strong today. Unless you and I are convinced of the importance of this Immaculate Heart, the praying to Our Lady under her Immaculate Heart, unless we're convinced of it, we can be deceived too. In the Scriptures, there's a word that says, stars have fallen from the heaven, and do you, proud soul, think that you can persevere? Those are the type of things that make you sit up and take notice and say, I can't do this by myself. I can easily be deceived. Unless I have unreserved confidence in my mother that she will keep me faithful to the teachings of her son and his church. That's the importance of this devotion. But the deception doesn't stop there. It's not just in theological things. How about the points of morality? Morality has gone out the window today in society. So many people will be involved in immoral acts. They will read immoral things. They will watch immoral programs, movies and things of that nature. Why? Well, everybody else is doing it. It's not that bad. I'm an adult. I can handle things like that. The church can't tell me these things and put me under a thumb, even though it destroys my peace of soul and puts me in slavery to sin. That doesn't matter. My friends are all doing it. And they're good people, so therefore, why can't I? I've been deceived. Do you hear the same voice like the devil did to Eve? Go ahead, eat the apple. Go ahead, it's no big deal. Go ahead, it won't hurt you. No, she was deceived and ate it, and look what happened. And so many people today are taking that bite of the apple in the point of morality, and they don't care. They've been deceived. But good people are being tried that way and are being deceived at times. Unreserved confidence in Mary's Immaculate Heart is what's going to help them, keep them safe from that deception. Now, but there's another area of deception too. The general spirit of worldliness. That worldliness that goes so contrary to my spiritual life. That makes me put my spiritual life second or third or fourth, or at least for sure, last in my duties and responsibilities of the day. That worldliness that has me dress in a manner that is not fit for a child of God and a child of many, Mary. That has me talk in a manner that a child of God or a child of Mary would never talk in. Has me associate with people, go to places, read things, watch things. Listen to the opinions on news broadcasts in the newspaper. After all, if they're saying it's got to be true, right? Step by step, these deceptions come along to the point that the very truths of our faith, the very practice that we have, the importance of our spiritual life and our peace of soul and strength that we need is gone. We've allowed that deception to so rule over us because, well, my friend at school says it's okay. My buddy at work says it's all right. But after all, if my buddy at work does it and if I don't, I'm going to look weird. So I'm going to go along with it. I'll allow myself to be deceived because of human respect, because I don't know my faith, because I'm worldly myself. Whatever. These deceptions that Mary is warning us about. Unless you replace your sinful heart with my immaculate heart, you will be deceived. It is not an if, it is a fact. You will be deceived if you do not do that. The society we live in today should give us ample proof of that. People have walked away from prayer, especially to Mary, who ridicule devotion to her. Well, Our Lady tells us at Marienfried what we need to understand about that. There's an interesting thing about all this. Almost as early as Vatican II was finished, the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary was abolished. Gone. Go to the modern missals, look for it. You won't find it. No wonder there's such great trials upon the earth today. The very devotion God has given to us among these deceived brethren of ours who are Catholics in the world, who have been deceived by modernism, the very devotion that could pull them out of it has been pulled away from them. That means you and I have a double duty, if you will, to live up to this devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart for ourselves and for others. And to teach people the importance of this devotion, even though it's been taken away by the modern church and made less important than it truly is. There's a deception from the devil if you really want one. So how do we substitute Mary's heart for ours? What do we do? Well, for that, I'll go back to the Fatima message, because the message at Marienfried is a complement to Fatima. They both work together. There's a threefold way of what you and I need to do in order to say that we have substituted our prideful, sinful, selfish heart for Mary's pure, immaculate, selfless heart. Three different ways that we can do it. First of all, what Our Lady said when she came to Fatima, she recommended, is consecration to her. The notion of consecration is that we are so dedicated to her that we live as a child in dependence of her. She is my queen. She is my mother. She wins for me the graces I need from her son. I know the more I honor her, the more that she will lead me to her son. And the more Catholics are devoted to Mary and consecrated, dedicated to her in a special way, the more will the reign of her son come that much more quickly on this earth, and her Immaculate Heart will triumph. So consecration is important. But is it any old consecration? No, not really. Sister Lucia, one of the visionaries of Fatima, when she was older and after Jacinta and Francisco had died, someone had asked them about this point of consecration. What particular consecration, because there are several ones out there, which one does Our Lady wish to have done? And she said, it's the one that was composed by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. The one that composed, and the wording of it that says that we make ourselves children, slaves of love to her. We give everything to her, trusting that she will take everything and help and assist us. Isn't that the message of Marian Fried? Have unreserved confidence in her. And this type of consecration to Mary, as proposed and taught by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, gives us this notion, this idea of unreserved confidence in her. This is why I put copies of the book True Devotion. That's the book that St. Louis Marie de Montfort wrote on this consecration to Mary. It's the best explanation of why it's so important and how to live it. How to have that spirit as ourselves. I put them in the back there, and I'm making them available to anyone who, either if you haven't read the book before, then go ahead, a copy there is free. If you have read it, you've got it in your library, and you're trying to replace it with a new one, then you're going to buy one. And the cost is in the back. And the reason for it is this. I just give you an idea. I don't know if you know of it, but I'm just letting you know of it now. Most of the time, up to like 90% of the time, material is put in the back of the church. It's not done at the church's expense. We don't get enough money in our tithing to give to that, to be able to take care of all the printing needs that all of you have such an advantage to and have had for years, as long as we've had this parish, to take all the material in the back and to take it for free. The church couldn't afford all that. We don't get enough tithing to do that. Some of it comes from the sisters when they place material back there at their own expense, so you can read their publications and benefit from them. The rest comes out of my pocket. This is not a to-do, tooting my own horn. I'm just explaining why I'm saying you can take it for free. It's my gift to those who want it there. Read it. Take it. If you're just going to take it and put it on a shelf, then don't take it at all. Leave it for somebody who will use it. Take it, read it, understand that point of consecration. Because on Wednesday evening, the words of consecration I have for the parish here is taking the words of St. Louis de Montfort's total consecration to Mary. So that as a parish, we are unreservedly giving ourselves to our Blessed Mother, as she says to do at Marienfried, to the point that we can live it and as a parish be protected from deception, as a parish to be protected from the power of the devil. Will it mean we're going to have more crosses? Sure. But we're Catholics after all. We're children of Mary. We can handle them. Because she says you will be there as a mother to assist us. But I would rather take the consecration and propose that to the parish for all of us to do so for our protection as a parish family than not to do it and let ourselves be out there on our own, so to speak, and the possibility of deception being that much greater for every member of the parish after that. That's why I feel it is so important. And that's why we'll be doing it this Wednesday evening. And I ask all of you to join with us in doing that. That as a parish, we are protected under the banner of our Blessed Mother as her children, slaves of love. If you want to know more about Holy Slavery, again, read the book True Devotion. And encourage you then to take that act of consecration for yourself individually and see the great spiritual benefits that come to you as a result of that. The second thing that Our Lady of Fatima sets before us, besides consecration to her, that helps us and to substitute our sinful heart for a pure, immaculate heart, is the praying of the daily rosary. At Fatima, she proposed that. Pray the rosary every day. She says, for the end of the war, but also for peace. Peace in our homes, peace in ourselves, peace for the world. If we don't have peace, if we are at war with ourselves, in our homes, at work or whatever, I will put it back to the point, we're not praying the rosary well. We're mumbling off words. We're not praying it as we should. The quicker we substitute the way we should pray the rosary from our selfless heart to the heart of Mary and her virtues and the way she would pray, differences would come. And the third thing that's set before us is the wearing of the brown scapular. When Mary came to Fatima in her October 13th vision, she first came as Our Lady of the Rosary, as you see in the statue behind me here. Afterwards, the children saw her change, and she became as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, as you've seen pictures of her that way, holding the brown scapular. And it was given to understand that this, the wearing of the brown scapular, is important for our age. But understand, please, understand about this brown scapular devotion. Just because you wear the brown scapular does not mean you're going to heaven. The brown scapular is not some lucky charm. It's not a talisman. It's not something, if I wear it, guaranteed, heaven is mine. If you wear it that way, it's this side of idolatry. Understand that. When Our Lady gave the brown scapular, when she talked about wearing it, and then the promise would come, if we wear it faithfully, of being delivered from purgatory, being saved from those flames, what was meant by that, that you and I would lead a life of love and dedication to God. That scapular is a symbol of my consecration to Mary and living that consecration daily, every day of my life. And then, because I live it, Our Lady protects me, and that's her promise. I do this for her and for her son, and the promise made is I will be delivered from the flames of purgatory. It is not that just because I wear it, and I can go ahead and lead any life I want, automatically I'm going to be delivered from purgatory. That's sinful. The Catechism would never endorse something like that. The Church has never endorsed it in that way. But I can't count the number of Catholics who think, that's all I've got to do. Put the scapular on and I'm saved. There's obligations that come with living the scapular if you wish to benefit from the promises of that scapular. That's replacing our sinful hearts with her pure and immaculate heart. Threefold things set before us. Consecration, the rosary, the brown scapular. Centuries ago, I think it was in the 1200s, St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the Franciscan Order, was meeting with St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominican Order, and I believe it was St. Simon Stock. I believe the third one here for the Carmelites. And St. Francis of Assisi said, talking about the brown scapular that had been given to the Carmelite Order to promote, and the rosary, which was given to the Dominicans to promote, St. Francis spoke about the importance of those two devotions, and then he added, he said, one day, through the scapular and the rosary, the world would be saved. One day when people will need these two great devotions to keep themselves strong against the temptations of the day, that will be their source of strength, the scapular and the rosary. Is it any wonder then that when God is proposing devotion to Mary's Immaculate Heart, that He also has Mary at Fatima, encourages us, demand of us, to pray the rosary and to wear the scapular faithfully as we should, as children of God and children of Mary. Is it any wonder? No, it's no wonder to me. God is just underscoring, emphasizing, this devotion is important. I will go to the point of saying it's necessary for us in this time. We must have an unreserved confidence in Mary's Immaculate Heart, even though crosses weightier than the sea may come our way. Even though there be many, many people who become deceived, we must have unreserved confidence in Mary's Immaculate Heart so we are not deceived, so the devil has no power over us, so that we can come safely to eternal life and meet Jesus as our judge in the way that is peaceful to us. This is what this devotion is all about. This is why I feel it is so important as a parish. We take this act of consecration and renew it every year on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary to demonstrate our love for Mary under this title, her Immaculate Heart, begging for her protection, confident, unreservedly confident, that through her Immaculate Heart we can be protected. Let's pray for that understanding. So in the next 3 days, on this special feast day, as we observe it and pray these words of consecration, they will have great meaning to us. The power and protection will be ours. And we will see these changes, especially this protection from deception and from the devil. This protection will be ours. All we have to do is live this consecration, totally dedicated to Mary, confident in her immaculate heart. And she will see us safely home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.